All right, everybody, welcome to yet another installment of our live DIA 3.0 Hotlanta conference podcasting session. We are here with the one and only Richard Lowe. Richard, how you doing?
So good.
Richard wanted to get on the podcast today to talk about why hygienists are worthless.
I did not ever see
that. Was that what you said?
You are the worst. I love you.
No, he did not say that.
I did not say that. Hygienists, please. Hygienists are
sorry. I had to start it off that way.
They're precious and amazing and talented professionals that are essential to the function of dentistry.
Now you're going overboard the other direction.
Laying it on thick with me. Ugh.
Goodness. Scared. My heart is like in my throat.
I don't think hygienists listen to the podcast.
Well, sometimes they do.
Oh, man. He's immediately regretting his decision. Do not do a podcast with Shane McElroy. Because you will end up taking a shot of apple cider vinegar.
Okay.
And he'll wrangle you into that, and it's no fun.
I feel like I have done a lot of podcasting. I am like nervous now. This is the most stressful interview I've ever been in.
Listen, we do icebreakers from the very beginning, and then it gets easier as we go on.
Okay.
Let's talk about Richard, because here's some things I want people to know about Richard. Richard runs a podcast. I didn't know about you until I met you at VOD in 2019.
Yep, 2 years ago.
And you had a...
Actually, it was when did the pandemic happen? I forget what year.
It was
2020.
It was March of 2020 is when.
So VOD was January 2020.
That's when it was.
We were sitting next to each other. Our booths were right next to each other.
I remember because Mike DeTola was doing a whole rant about the norovirus. And I thought that was really kind of interesting because the coronavirus was about to happen.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
No.
I don't know if you saw his thing.
I tend to, at VOD, as much as I love everyone who's speaking, I tend to just record podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah. So VOD stands for Voices of Dentistry, which is coming up again in January of 2022.
Yep.
And you're going to be there.
I will.
Fantastic. So I met Richard, and we got into a discussion.
I to your face, told you the thing that you've already built was impossible. I was like, there's no way you could ever make a podcast as a dentist for patients that patients would listen to. I was like, that's just not possible. That's not doable.
Yeah. Well, I bribe them. They get $500 of free dental work every single, somebody gets $500 of free dental work every single episode.
That is a good reason to tune in.
Right? I think so.
Oh yeah.
$500.
And
what other podcasts give out $500 of anything?
And you get comedians high on nitrous.
I do. You got to go to the YouTube channel I've told Lowell we should do an audio version. I think if we just isolated the audio and put it out as a podcast, I think that would be entertaining. I'm not sure.
It could be.
I got to try it out.
It could be. I will say, so in, I did an Army residency and did some extra training, and we got to do a sedation segment, and we all did nitrous on each other.
So nice.
And then we started IVs on each other. So you weren't on nitrous starting IVs on other people, because that would be irresponsible.
That would be.
You were on...
But fun.
Yeah. You were on nitrous while other people were starting IVs on you. So less fun.
Right.
But we cranked it up because it's like you can get up to 70%. Like, people don't know, on nitrous, there's the flow of oxygen and there's the flow of nitrous. Some people, if you just throw 50-50 oxygen and nitrous at them, they'll get like sick to their stomach.
Yes.
And so you want to make sure you kind of ease them into it.
Yeah.
But because this was like, okay, let's see what this is like and what happens, I got to do 70% nitrous, 30% oxygen.
Right off the bat?
No. Worked our way up to that.
They titrated you up to that.
I felt like I could hear into the future. Like, I felt like things that were happening around me, like I could hear them before they could actually happen. It was the weirdest sensation. Like, my hearing was so good because the nitrous actually gets into your ear canals and accentuates your hearing.
Wow.
Positively.
That I didn't know.
It does.
The hearing thing.
Yeah. And so combined with that and being, you know, on nitrous, I felt like I could hear into the future. It was like it would ping around in my brain and then like it would happen in real life.
Like a dog that's sensing like a lightning storm coming, right?
Yeah.
And they go and hide under the stairs before it comes, and you're like, oh, something's going down.
I'm not hilarious on nitrous. I just enjoy it, and so that's why I don't have nitrous.
Not everybody is. I like to get the comics. The last comic that came on, and I said, so if nitrous makes people funny, who's a comedian that you would like to give it to?
Yeah.
And make them, trick them into talking crap about other comedians. So that's what I like to do. Okay, so we met at VOD. You had the booth, I think, right next to me?
Yes.
And so VOD is a it's a podcast-centric themed dental conference.
Somehow,
right?
Incredibly, there are enough dentists who podcast,
yes,
to make a whole friggin' conference about that.
And there's like 10, 12 that show up?
Oh, like...
Was that or
like,
more?
Like 20 to 30. Oh. There's like 70 in the industry. Like 70 plus. That was
there's a lot.
There was 2 years ago, there was 70 plus dental podcasts. So now it's like got to be over 100.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
So I didn't know anything. This was a time in my life, let me tell you. I spent the first 10 years of my career just with my head down doing dentistry.
Sure.
If you would have asked me, who's Spear, Dawson, Panky, Coyce, I'd be like, I don't know. Is that the Beatles? I don't,
right.
I don't know what you're talking about. Is that some weird band? I don't know any of these people. So VOD was my second attempt, because my first was DIA, which was just a few months before that.
Okay.
But VOD was me figuring out who people were.
So
that was the purpose. When I went to go, I was like, I want to know
who's who.
Who's who, yeah. Right? If I hear the Shared Practices podcast, I want to know, oh, that's Richard.
Right.
Right? So I'm just kind of, who's Alan Mead? No idea, right? Who's
right.
Justin Moody? No idea. Mark Costas.
Right.
These are all strangers to me at this point in my career. And then I'm starting up Halo Dental Network and Drilled Podcast to help as be a vehicle for Halo. And I'm like, well, I should know who people are because they might have something interesting to say and be helpful or, you know. So anyway, you're parked right next to me, and we're chatting. And you're like, yeah, patient-facing podcast probably wouldn't work. And I'm like, well, I'd do one. And, hey, I mean, I don't make money off of it or anything like that. But it's like enough people that are interested enough that they tune in.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the YouTube stuff we've created, I always like going through the comments. And what's interesting is that YouTube comments are known for being brutal.
Right.
Right? Like YouTube, oh, yeah. Like, oh, don't read the comments.
Don't read the comments.
Don't read the comments. But then we do collaborations with like Steve-O, and there's like 1.5 million views on the video that we did with him.
Right.
And you go read through the comments. And I go to the comments now when I feel like down in the dumps and I want to feel better about myself.
Yeah.
I'll go read the comments because they are so complimentary.
Like, I wish that was my dentist.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
So anything I've done, like that's made it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Was on the Rubin Report too, and those comments are like, oh gosh, guys, come on! I'm just a regular guy like you.
Is he married?
Like... right.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, I started. That's when I first knew about the Shared Practices podcast, and that's the podcast that Richard Lowe does with some other people.
Yes.
Correct. Let's talk about who your partners are.
Yep. So Dr. George Hariri and Dr. Matt Guarino are my two partners right now. We have another set of like interns and co-hosts and people that are on the show that are amazing. And we have three segments. We have one segment aimed at current practice owners.
Mm-hmm.
That's our Monday episode. That's my segment. I'm on Mondays. Wednesday, we have it's the ownership accelerator. It's the pursuit of ownership. Sorry. The pre-owners who want to start or buy a dental practice. Originally, we had seasons and a whole season focused on.
I like how you set it up that way.
And now we're at the point where we're kind of post seasons. So just every Wednesday episode is dedicated to that journey of buying or starting a practice. And then our Friday episodes are an anonymous coaching interview. So we take a dentist, we change their name, we change their voice, like FBI Protective Services, like voice changing.
Yeah.
We plug dental intel into their practice, pull all their numbers, and then host a live coaching session with them so that it's kind of like you can say, you know, people say online all the time, like, oh, my dental practice, we're doing this and mm-hmm. we're so good and look at me. But like when you really look at the numbers, you're like, well, did you know that, you know, your retention rate is this and your case acceptance is this? And people, when someone else is looking at the numbers, you can have a very real conversation of you're saying this is what you want your practice to be, but the numbers are telling a different story. And if you want to go here, this is what we would do. And now we have a mastermind group. We've got a coaching service.
Yeah.
We've got courses in person. And so we've taken 5 years of podcasting. We've got over 400 episodes. We've been doing coaching for years now. We've built a coaching team. But our goal is to change practice ownership for dentists for the rest of their career, to give them a framework
to look at practices when they're searching for them and buying and starting practices. But then also, once you're in ownership, if you want to grow, understanding how to shift gears and go from a single doctor, single hygienist, one assistant practice to a two or three doctor practice, that is a hard growth journey with a lot of pain, a lot of investing in your practice, but with the potential of a great payout if you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
So how to purposefully do that and navigate all the challenges, that's our specialty in terms of our coaching and our mastermind and the people that we help.
So, first of all, that is all incredible stuff. And what's amazing about that is that that's, none of this is taught in dental school.
Right.
So this is, so when you graduate from dentistry, for those who don't know, you are shoved out of the nest like a little bird who doesn't really know how to fly yet, right?
Right.
And without resources like this, you are either going to learn the hard way and make mistakes and lose money and become
bitter,
resentful, depressed. Yeah, absolutely. All that stuff. And so then when I learned about these podcasts, I started like listening to some, most of them, I think. I started listening to them, or at least dabbling a little bit.
Yeah, getting familiar with.
Yeah, I've been like, what do you guys talk about? What do you guys talk about? There's one about dental lab techs.
Yeah.
I didn't listen to that one.
Voices from the Bench. Elvis Dahl. I love Elvis.
I'm sure he does a great job.
Yeah.
It's not my thing.
Yeah.
So, but I started like just figuring out who people were. And so I started listening to some shared practices. And now I kind of am in a situation where that's not really applicable to me. But I found it very interesting.
Sure.
But I kind of didn't think much about it. Also, I'll be honest with you. You're quite young.
Yeah.
And so my knee-jerk reaction was...
What does this guy know?
And I know you've heard it before.
Oh.
I know that this is not a criticism that you're not hearing for the first time.
Not at all.
And I'm going to address this because I was very, very wrong. You are so inquisitive and curious and ask all the right questions. And it kind of proves that, like, do you really need to be a dentist for 20 years?
No.
To know this stuff? And no, the answer is no.
And in fact, many dentists who've been doing it for 20 years started in a time where, like, you didn't have to be quite as good at all of this because there was less competition, there was less corporate dentistry, there was less insurance dependence that is reimbursing less, and there was less debt. You didn't come out with $500,000 of student loans.
Yeah.
Here's this little bird trying to fly, carrying a 5-pound barbell.
Yep.
And like literally, you think about someone going from undergrad, maybe they went to an expensive undergrad, they've got 80, 100K of loans from undergrad, then they go to dental school and it is literally another $400,000 to $500,000. Mm-hmm. You are $500,000 in debt and you've never worked a full-time job in your life.
Yeah.
And now, you're like, there's no way I can ever buy a dental practice. That's another $800,000.
Yeah.
And then I got to buy a house. And like, so that's just not possible for me. I just have to go work for these corporate chains. That's my only option. And we want to give them a pathway to be able to be that family dentist that you have your practice.
Yeah.
And we chose to ignore, when we started the podcast, I was in the Army. I couldn't own a dental practice at the time.
Yeah.
And I knew that anyone who was in dentistry for more than, I was 1 year out from dental school. Who am I to start in the Army? Who am I to start a podcast about practice ownership? And so I came at it from, I'm going to ignore everyone successful who's already in their practice already. I'm not aiming at them.
Yeah.
I'm aiming at the other dental students and new grads. How can we go on this journey together?
That's what you nailed.
Yeah.
That's what you nailed. Was you, your target wasn't the people who are like, I'm established.
Right.
You're not telling me how to build my practice better.
No.
You're just saying like, hey, this is really confusing. Can we all just gather together and figure this out and like, you know, collaborate and figure out what's going with what we need to do? And you ask the right question. You do bring people on from time to time who are successful
and
share their wisdom too. So
we bring them on. We weren't aimed at them,
right?
But we bring them on the show for sure.
And you tap them for their wisdom, right? You tap them for, you know, we'll still learn from your mistakes. And that's how you combat that, right? It's like, yeah, because that's the criticism. What does this guy know? He's in the Army. He doesn't even own a practice. How does he have the most successful dental podcast about practice ownership? That doesn't even make sense.
Yes.
Right? But I think that's important to address because I think, like, here's the success. When I started talking to other people about what podcast they're listening to, what are they doing, the younger generation, especially dental students, was like, shared practices every single episode, binged everything. And what's awesome about it, too, is that information stays static on the interwebs.
Good,
right?
And bad. Because yeah, the stuff that we covered 5 years ago, like, we have better data now.
I feel like you have, okay, yeah, interesting.
And we don't want to take that stuff down. It still has value.
Right.
But we've learned lessons, painful lessons, ourselves, through our coaching clients, through our listeners, our mastermind members. And, like, we've got better frameworks than we had 5 years ago.
Yeah. So, and then you had my cousin on.
Yeah.
Scott Smith. Shout out to Scott Smith.
Shout out to Scott.
Out of North Carolina. But I saw an Instagram post, and it was my cousin talking.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, it's my cousin.
Yeah.
Sweet. I called him and chatted with him. He's like, dude, shared practices changed my life, man. Shared practices is the reason why I was successful. It's the reason I've made good decisions. It saved me a learning curve, a lifetime of who knows how long of chasing something, and just armed him with information that was super valuable. And then to top it off, last night, everybody, check this out. I'm having a conversation with someone I just met, and he's super interested in Halo, super enthusiastic about our mission in Halo and giving, you know, allowing Dennis more freedom to use their skills and talents to help people without the financial concerns, right? Richard walks in, starts talking to us. I'm like, hey, his name was Naveem. I said, Naveem, this is Richard. And he's like, so we start talking, and all of a sudden it dawns on Naveem.
Well, we had shared an elevator down. Like, we had talked in the morning. I was like, oh, hey. Yeah. Like, yeah, well, we talked earlier.
Well, that's the bad thing about a podcast is you may not know the face.
I have
of
a
the
face,
voice.
Face for radio. I, you know, it's...
yeah. He stops and says, Richard Lowe? And you're like, yeah. And he hugs you. He stops what he's doing and he hugs you. Dude, what does that feel like?
I mean,
I know you don't want to talk. You're getting bashful. But that's got to feel very, very validating.
It is so satisfying to hear people say, I bought my dental practice because of you. And, like, thank you so much. Like, mm-hmm. I would have been stuck working for someone else in a not great situation because that's what I thought I had to settle on for years. But I bought my practice because of shared practices. And that feels so good. And then to be able to have the same thing with our coaching clients and our mastermind people of, like, oh my goodness, what you guys deliver and how you've helped my office manager step up to the plate and know how to run a practice, because I didn't have the tools to give her that. And now she's a rock star and we are a team and we work together and you guys, like, that is so fulfilling and I absolutely love it. And it was even, sometimes it was even hard. I was in the Army for 5 years. When I started this, I knew I had 5 years before I thought I could own a dental practice. And people would apply the principles of the show, and they'd be off to the races. They buy a dental practice, double it, pay down their student loans, and I'm, like, still stuck in the Army, and I can't do anything about it. And so it was like our show was filled with this angst of, like, I had 5 years to hyper-focus on this topic without being able to do anything about it, and this was my outlet for that angst.
Yeah.
And a lot of dental students identify with that because they're in dental school and they're like, oh my goodness, I want this to be me. I gotta get through dental school first. So it's so satisfying to see. Absolutely. And I'm flattered. And I also think it's hilarious. I'm thinking about starting a podcast called Dental Famous, which is making fun of the idea of being dental famous.
Sure.
Because to a very small group of people, like, they feel like they know you and you're like a celebrity, but you are, like, not a celebrity at all. Nobody knows who you are. Nobody cares. But, like, to that small group of people, you mean a lot. And to everyone else, you mean absolutely nothing.
Right. But there's a lot of value in that, because if you're giving that small group of people information that they are like, actionable information, actionable data, and things that are gonna, you know, save them terrible headaches.
Oh, like
it's just the value is so incredible to those people.
Yeah, and one of my biggest fears when I started this was I didn't want to oversell practice ownership, because even though financially it can be very rewarding, there can be a lot of good opportunities culturally, charitably. You know, there's so many ways that practice ownership can be this amazing thing. It can also be the most stressful thing you ever do in your life. It can also be a source of so much pain, and it's not right for everyone. And if someone doesn't want to be a boss, they don't want to manage people, they just want to show up, take great care of patients, and go home and, like, enjoy their life.
Yeah.
Practice ownership may not be right for them. And that was season one, was like, is this right for me? Because I don't want to oversell this as, like, hey, everyone should be a practice owner. You're not a success unless you own your own practice.
Yeah.
And then people get into it and they're like, oh crap, I just bought $1 million practice and I hate my life now as a practice owner. So I was very deliberate about not overselling
practice ownership, which is hard to do because that's all we focus on. So,
give me your top three famous dentists. Someone says, give me the Mount Rushmore of famous dentists. I like asking this question. Give me the Mount Rushmore of famous dentists.
Well, I think it's generational.
Okay. No, that's fine.
Yeah.
So, yours would be different than a dentist who's been in practice for 30 years. For sure.
So...
No fictional dentists allowed.
Yeah.
Only real dentists.
And okay.
Who you got?
This is for me.
Yeah, for you. Like, who's yours?
Is this who I look up to the most, or who I would most like to meet, or who I think is the most famous in the public eye, or in the dental field?
So Mount Rushmore is probably like the most like influential to America, right?
Okay.
The four people. Are you out of here? Love you, dude.
I love you too, dude.
He made me brush my teeth with frosting yesterday.
I don't know who Shane is, but I love him.
Oh, Shane, he's a buddy. He's great. Yeah. He's good people.
I love him.
Anyway, he was trying to say bye. Sorry, buddy. Okay, Mount Rushmore, you know, you got George Washington, Roosevelt, Lincoln, Jefferson. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So just influential. Now, that's influential for the whole United States of America, right? So the analogy would be, who is helping the profession in a way that you think their face would belong on the Mount Rushmore of dentistry?
Yeah.
I mean, you could go back to G.V. Black if you want.
No.
No G.V. Black?
Not doing that.
Oh, that's disrespectful.
So...
Disrespectful. You could choose a hygienist to go on Mount Rushmore of dentistry if you want.
No. I love you, hygienist.
If there's a famous hygienist, I don't know if there's any. There might be.
I helped tell a tale of two hygienists start their podcast. Like, it... Andrew was talking to me at the very beginning. I was like, okay, this is the gear you buy. This is how you do it. Like, I love those guys.
Yeah. Do they still do it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So...
You're struggling on this.
I really am, because I've thought a lot about this.
Okay.
Because I mean, thinking about this show, Dental Famous, that I want to start, there is public facing to the current generation of, like, what's hot. And, like, ironically, there's a fourth-year dental student who is crushing it on TikTok. And YouTube.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, Dental Digest.
Dental Digest.
We've DM'd back and forth. He has cracked the code on TikTok's algorithm. He makes these really short, simple, repeatable videos where he stains his teeth, crunches up these little disclosing tablets, and then he tries out a new toothbrush and a new toothpaste, and he kind of reviews and reacts to them. He's got a perfect loop. It's like well produced but not overly produced, and it's struck this chord of just like everybody loves it. And
he's got videos with like 20 million views.
He's 10 million subscribers on TikTok, and then like 6 or 7 on YouTube. 6 or 7 million on YouTube.
I believe
in the last year and a half, went from like zero to that in a year and a half, and that's consumer facing.
Yeah,
I think if you were to ask. So, like, the current young generation, I think the TikTok dentists are the ones they know. It's the Bentist. It's that guy.
Bentist, for sure. I know Bentist.
It's, I've had him on my show, and I can't remember his name. He's an oral surgeon in Texas, in Amarillo, Texas. It'll come to me in a minute. Who almost has, like, The Office, the show The Office. He's done that in his oral surgery office.
Is it on TikTok?
On TikTok.
Oh, you have to show me that.
And it's, like, episodic. It's, like, everyone in the office is kind of like a character. Like, they're kind of, like, a little overly done. And he's got, like a little producer that, like, walks around the office and, like, picks up on the drama. And they do the post-op, like, coming out of oral surgery and patients are saying crap about getting high and their boyfriend.
Do they have a room where they, like, sit down, like, something happens, and then you have an assistant be, like, talking to breaking the fourth wall?
Yes.
That's awesome.
It's incredible.
Oh, I want to hit you up. I want to get that information.
Yes, I'll think of it here in a second.
But surely you would not put him on the Mount Rushmore.
No, so that's my problem.
So that's your problem is that I think influence?
I think
certainly.
The current influence and who is well known is very different than like the pillars that have influenced dentistry, so I think I can do this best for me as a dentist.
Okay.
So this would probably start with Howard Foran.
Okay. He's on mine too.
He created a company called DentalTown.com and a magazine.
And before Facebook existed, this was the only place that dentists could go online and like share real stories and learn from each other. All the good, bad, and the ugly of what happens in a dental office and with patients and post cases and x-rays and get advice from other dentists. It was behind a password. You had to be a dentist to create an account on there on DentalTown. So it's not, you know, public. And that influenced so many of the current generation of like online people. Yeah. And for me, that was my only access to, when I was in dental school, when I would procrastinate stuff, I would read DentalTown. And he was in Phoenix. When I was in Phoenix, I read this book called Never Eat Alone by, I think, Keith Ferrazzi. And I read this book like first or second year of dental school. And it's a book about like networking in a very sincere way of like really connecting with people and like using opportunities to like help other people as you connect with them. So it's not like, here's my business card, shake your hand, like we're now networked. It's like, what are you excited about and how can I help you do that? And having very genuine connection with people. And I came up with like a list of like my hit list of people I wanted to meet.
Yeah.
And this is like in my second year of dental school. And being in Arizona, there's a lot of names in dentistry in Arizona.
There are.
And so Howard was in Arizona and DentalTown is there. And I was like, okay, I want to meet Howard Ferrand. And I posted on DentalTown and created like a little blog on DentalTown, got his attention, got to go to his office, got to go to DentalTown. And Howard is also a little crazy.
Let's say a little. That's very nice.
No, he'll take it.
Yeah.
No, yeah. And like, I was like, who does this guy's social media? Because there's no way that he's posting at 1 a.m. these like dental memes on all of these different accounts. And like, when I got to DentalTown, I was like, okay, so who does Howard's social media? And they're like, oh, it's all him. It's Howard.
Yeah.
And
he's funny too.
He does stand-up comedy on the side. Like, literally.
Does he do stand-up comedy?
Non-dental. And
he goes to clubs and does open mics?
Yes.
I did not know that.
And I got him to come speak at Midwestern at our dental school. And when I invited everyone, I was like, if you are easily offended, do not come to this.
Right.
And there were people who were like, oh, okay, that's actually me. I'm not going to come. And I was really glad they didn't come because they would have been offended.
Yes.
So I ended up convincing him to hire me as a student intern to help produce his podcast. And that's how I got into podcasting.
I had no idea about that.
So
Dude, that's awesome.
I threw myself, I would apply every time they'd like send out an application for like a community manager, I would apply for it. And they're like, no, this is a full-time position. You're a dental student. Stop sending your resume. Go away, Richard.
Hey, go study histology slides.
Right. Go be a dentist. What are you doing? We're trying to run a company. And eventually they hired me as a student intern to promote DentalTown to other dental students. And then his assistant, who was producing the podcast, quit. I took over the podcast and got to run that my senior year of dental school. So he's on
Dude, that's awesome.
That was my start.
Yeah, that's a good start. But that's so smart to, like, you see what you want and you're like, listen, I want to just contribute.
Yeah.
And I'll work for free. Yeah. I'm assuming you work for free.
No.
Oh, they paid you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
I was an intern.
Yeah. Oh, intern means free to me in my language.
Yeah, I mean, I was, I don't know, 10, 12 an hour or something there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I got a little cheddar cheese hours on the side.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, I think we're like 8 minutes into this, and we got one person on your Mount Rushmore.
So, okay, sorry.
It's all right. It's a good one. It's a good one, and I share that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would say, for me, also Mike Totola, who spoke yesterday. He's one who is hilarious, a lecturer, I love people who make complex topics so simple and approachable.
Yeah.
And I just respect his, you know, ability. And he's really opened up. At this last lecture, he talked about drug dependence and recovery. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time he's ever publicly said any of that.
From a very personal place.
And even the trauma that kind of has led to some of these dark places he's been in.
Yeah.
So he'd be on that list. I would put Alan Mead. Alan Mead was a huge influence on me.
Alan's on my list too.
Yeah.
Love that guy.
And dental hacks. I mean, him and I got like ramen in Phoenix while I was in dental school and I was working for Howard. He's like, you should start your own podcast. And I was like, who the heck is going to listen to a new grad talk about anything? Yeah. And he was like, no, you should do it. You'd be good. And his encouragement was a huge influence on me.
Yeah. Well, listen, the TikTok guy you're talking about, who's like a D4 right now.
Yeah.
He made Benko's top 25 most influential dentist list.
Yeah.
Can't cut an MOD.
Well, I'm sure he's okay.
What, can't legally.
Well, yeah, at the dental school, he can.
Yeah, bye. Can't legally do it. But he's those are good questions. Like, okay, let's see where this goes with you as far as like your contribution to dentistry.
Right.
Like, let's see where this goes. But you were right to have these reservations about yourself. But what that did, it made you self-aware of those potential shortcomings. And so you compensate for that.
And I framed it in a way that it was like, dude, I'm not trying to offend you. If you already know what you're doing in practice ownership, good for you. Like, I want to pull that knowledge. Tell me your story. Like, I want to hear it. Like, yeah. I want to hear the painful lessons you've learned as a practice owner. Let's get them on the podcast. So Alan encouraging me and what he built and how he pioneered the dental podcast space,
mm-hmm.
incredible for me. I'd also say Dr. Scott Luna from Breakaway.
I don't know who that is. That's one I don't know.
So Breakaway Practice Seminars had its origins in Dental Town, where he started up a number of practices, and he came back on Dental Town and shared, like, blow by blow, here's all the things I did, here's all the lessons and what I would do differently. And just there was this, I think a lot of these people share this like outpouring of like willingness to help and give back.
Yeah.
And he then created a company called Breakaway Practice Seminars, which teaches dentists how to do startups. And that in that space, there's not a ton of like, there weren't a lot of resources for people to do that A to Z. And he did it in a way that it's like, listen, if you have X, Y, or Z supply company, I don't want to offend anyone who's a sponsor of yours, design your cabinetry, you're going to spend $100,000 extra when you could go to IKEA and like custom build this and build whatever stuff and layout you want. And you don't need cabinetry in every op. You can do these kind of minimal ops and have the stuff in the back and then have a central supply area. And so he had systems and layouts and ways to efficiently organize a startup to save $100,000 to $200,000.
Well, I've spent $28,000 on cabinetry for a build out.
Right.
And then I was like, oh, I can go to IKEA and do this for $4,500.
Right.
Oh, that would have been nice to know.
Right.
Before I threw away $15,000. But yeah, no, that kind of stuff's like, oh, it's so good to know.
For me, he was one of the first people I had on the podcast and someone I really looked up to and I respect. I loved how dynamic of an educator he was.
Now he's on my list. Does he do a podcast or?
No.
You've had him on yours?
So no, he's been on mine kind of in early seasons. He's built up Breakaway. They were doing a bunch of things. He got bought out by Dental Whale and he's kind of like, I don't know how much longer he's going to be lecturing. I think he's kind of on contract with them to like fulfill. But he had like a big sellout, like a big like, I'm sure he cashed in and he's doing good. And now he's on the back end of fulfilling whatever that relationship is.
Okay.
And it was, for me, the Mount Rushmore factor was his days on Dental Town and then the course that he put together. And there's, you know, some... everyone's got controversy around it. There's some things and some bumps in the road with his company, but like the information that he put together and the educator that he is, I just respect so much and was so inspiring and useful to me and so many others.
Yeah.
So that'd be it for me.
That's good, man. No, and I like to know that because like I said, I still feel like I'm new in the space of like knowing who people are.
Right.
And like Scott Luna, I've never heard of Scott Luna.
Yeah.
It's a first for me.
Right.
You know, the other
San Antonio. So that's where they're out of.
Yeah. So that's a first for me. So now I've got my Googling to do.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that. Listen, before I forget, we need to do a secret word.
Okay.
The secret word is worth $500.
Can I choose it or do you already know it?
You are, my guest is always.
Yes.
Always the given the gift of offering up the secret word.
Okay.
Do you have one?
I'm going to say Canadian bacon.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. I do have a problem with Canadian bacon.
Too long in two words?
Because it's ham.
It is.
I mean, why are we churching up? It's delicious.
It is.
We don't need, but it.
And as an, I was originally Canadian.
Okay.
And I had to give that up for the Army scholarship for dental school. And like I don't even really own that as a Canadian. Like I don't have like an affinity between Canadian bacon and actual Canada.
Yeah. And well, I think it's almost like offensive to Canadians. Because it's like bacon light. Like bacon, but like not really good. It's good. It's not as good as bacon.
It's like you can't afford actual bacon.
So here's this crappier product.
You're just gonna chop up some ham and throw it on a pizza.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Anyway, regardless, listen, it has been decreed from on high that the secret word is Canadian bacon. So please email drilledpodcast@gmail.com. The secret word is Canadian bacon. The fifth person who whose email we receive will receive $500 of free dental work that they can use for whatever they want, and they can also gift it to somebody else if that makes more sense and there's someone else who needs it more than you do that you know. So, and redeemable only at my practice. You can travel to Richard. He'd probably do it.
Yeah.
It's far. Where do you practice? Indianapolis? That's what I thought.
Indiana dentures and implants. So that's all we do is extractions, dentures, implants, people who are post-teeth. I say that teeth are optional, smiles are not.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Lowell likes that too. Might hear Lowell laughing in the background. Richard, I'm so glad I did not know you were going to be here. So when I saw you, I was like, this is great, man.
Thank
and
you.
And I'm so appreciative of what you do. And just like, oh, the proof's in the pudding, man. When you see the reaction of people to you, and being so grateful for what you've done, it's something to admire, and it's something that I aspire to, admittedly. So
thank you, man.
We want to make differences. We want to help people out. And so, man, you found a place where just the quality of the information that you were gathering and disseminating out was something that really helped a lot of people. I mean,
and Halo is incredible. I am super stoked about Halo and everything that this can do for people. And I'm going to be participating this next year.
Nice.
So I'm on board.
Love it. Yeah. Love it, dude. We're going to get you. We're going to get you someone good. It's going to be awesome. So listen, everybody, thank you for tuning in. Is there a place you want to follow you online if they wanted to get a hold of you?
Sure.
Listen to Shared Practices, first of all.
Yep.
Wherever you get podcasts. Shared Practices. Please download every single episode and listen to it.
Yes.
And then how else can people get a hold of you?
Indiana Dentures and Implants.
Okay.
.com. The full spelled out Indiana Dentures and Implants if you're interested in that kind of stuff. But I can throw my email, richard@sharedpractices. If you're interested in any of this or if you have questions, you're a dental student,
Perfect.
Dentist, email me.
Perfect. And Shared Practices has an Instagram?
It does.
You do, because I know.
It's not great.
Okay. Okay.
I'll admit that.
Okay. Listen, I just like to throw everyone's stuff out there for whatever, however they want to be gotten a hold of, if they want to be gotten a hold of.
Perfect.
Hey, this has been great. So happy you came by. Please continue to listen. Please tune in next week. We will have something else going on. I'm not sure what. Eventually, we're going to get Lowell back on to continue his co-hosting duties. See, it's weird is that we feel this is going to go by like 4 weeks. Lowell usually co-hosts, and it's going to go by like 4 weeks without him co-hosting.
We're not going to hear from Lowell.
Well, we might. We got to do a Christmas episode.
Yeah.
Anyways, thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. We will see you next week.
We love you, hygienist. Bye.